I remember my son wanted to, he's now 30, but he wanted to go to Cedar Point with us, and he wanted to get on the ride so bad. And I was measuring him a couple of times a day for like a week. And he was getting so upset. I haven't grown any in 3 days, like, you know. And but yet, that's how we approach it as Christians. And it's like, but isn't it interesting that when we do submit, and I do think, and we do surrender, and why do we go through hard times? Sometimes we go through hard things and we face hard things. We all will. We all have them. Those are the times that mold us and shape us and enable us to trust Him, to surrender to Him.
Welcome to the Gospel Addict Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Bryan. This is a podcast containing content of people whose lives are addicted to the gospel of Jesus. What is the gospel? The gospel is the good news that the everlasting and ever-increasing joy of the never-boring, ever-satisfying Christ is ours freely and eternally by faith in the sin-forgiving death and the hope-giving resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thanks so much for listening. Hey, welcome to the Gospel Addict Podcast. My name is Greg Bryan. I am your host, and I'm joined with two guests, Jim Reske, who's a regular on the show. Jim, how you doing?
Hey, Greg, thanks for having me.
We all kind of got snowed in today. I shoveled most of my driveway, but I still can't get out. I can't get to the main street. Jim, you're snowed in too, right?
Oh, yeah, completely.
Yeah, but my friend Randy, who will be introducing himself in a second, he lives in a much nicer town where they plow the roads. Randy, I just want to give you a few minutes to introduce yourself. Tell us who you are.
Thanks, Greg. It's great to be with you guys. And Jim, it's great to get to know you. So as Greg said, my name's Randy, and I live on the west side of Cleveland. I was on staff with a ministry called Young Life for 31 years. In various roles here in the state of Ohio, and spent a little bit of time in Kenya with the staff of Kenya, and then spent 9 years in Scotland training and equipping staff in Scotland, and then worked at a church for a brief time, and now I'm serving with the Navigators, working with international students. It's been a great transition and really have enjoyed my time with the Navigators.
Thanks, Randy. Randy and I recently went to Colorado together, and we've traveled on two trips together. I went to Scotland with him, and then we went to Colorado. It's a lot of fun to travel with him, and I think you're going to enjoy what he brings to the show. He's a deep thinker, so he's got some great thoughts. So I'm looking forward to diving into this topic. Just to kind of get us started, I have this illustration. A lot of Navigators, we like to use illustrations when we're ministering to people, whether we're trying to bring them to Christ or disciple them. I developed this illustration I call the three ways to live. The three ways to live illustration, if you had a piece of paper in front of you, it would look like this. Imagine a big hill in the middle of that paper. And just as Jesus was crucified between two thieves, so there are two thieves of the gospel. And if you can picture on that hill, the cross in the middle, that represents following Jesus. But then remember, he was crucified between two thieves. So there was one on his left, one on his right. And the way this three ways to live illustration goes is the cross on the left represents following the rules, people that follow the rules. And if you think about the story of the prodigal son, you have the older brother who was obedient to his father. But if you consider that story, you realize that he was just as lost as his younger brother. So one way to live is to follow the rules. And then on the guy on the right side represents following your heart. And that would be like the younger brother in the prodigal son story. So what are the three ways to live? You can follow the rules, you can follow your heart, or you can follow Jesus. What I often will say is one of the reasons people tend to follow the rules or follow their heart is because that's one way we can control our lives. We have control. you know, when I'm following the rules, I know when I'm in control. I can check my boxes. I did this. I did all these right things. I read my Bible today. I prayed today. I memorized the scripture. I can check all those boxes. Or if I'm following my heart, you know, I'm also in control. But when you follow Jesus, I think the key word there is the word surrender. Following Jesus involves surrender. He talks about how if we want to follow him, we must deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow him. And that involves the concept of surrender. Randy, I'm gonna turn to you because you have, I think, a neat story that ties in with this idea of surrender. And then we'll launch into our discussion.
Well, Greg, when you told me we were going to talk about surrender, there's a story that came just in my life that I thought of. And it was one of those days, I remember I was running outside. I hopped in my car. It was a nice day. The windows were down. The radio was up way too loud. I must have had a good song on when I got out of the car because the radio was blaring. And it was a speaker. And I came into the middle of this discussion, so I never heard who it was, but have kind of pieced it together. I think it was an interview with a man by the name of Louis Palau, but again, I'm not positive because I never heard who it was from the beginning of the program. But one of the things they asked the speaker, again, who I thought was Louis Palau, and they said, how would you describe the church in America? And he said, the way I would describe the church in America, the one word I would use to describe it is the word committed. And the interviewer said, oh, that's really good, isn't it? And he said, well, you would think it would be, but when there's a word that you would use to describe it, it usually is replacing another word. And he goes, the word I think we used to use to describe the church in America would have been surrendered. And the interviewer said, well, what's the difference? And the speaker said, well, when you're committed in our culture today, if you don't like your New Year's resolution or just get tired, within a week or two, you quit doing it. And he said, more than 50% of our marriages end in divorce. And if you don't like your marriage, you renegotiate, you get out. If you don't like your job, you leave. And he said, really, commitments to us in America today are negotiable. You can change those. And he said, and I fear that's true in the church as well. And he said, so what would the difference be with surrender? He said, well, surrendered, I want you to think of Robert E. Lee surrendering at Appomattox. He was saying, do to me as you will. Like, I pray you're benevolent because we give up fighting. We quit fighting. Or in September of 1945 on the USS Missouri, it was the same thing. The Japanese surrendered and said, do to us as you will. And I think for us, when we surrender, we are saying to God, I quit fighting, God. It's not about me, it's about you. And thank goodness you are good and you are benevolent. And so I quit fighting. And I think that's changed. I used to share the gospel, Greg, by a little acronym called ABC, admit that you need Christ, B, believe in Christ, and C, commit your life to Christ. And I'm not saying it's wrong, but when I heard this, I changed to ABS. Now you may be thinking of anti-lock brake system or something, but that's not what it is. A is admit you need Christ, that we're sinful. B is to believe in Jesus Christ, and he is who he said he is. And S is to surrender, because I feel like that is a more biblical approach, and it's not something that I can renegotiate later. So that little 10 minutes or 15 minutes on that radio show really impacted me.
Man, thanks for sharing that, Randy. That was really good. Jim, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, Randy, that's really interesting. It's a great story. Yeah, it's a great distinction to draw. It's almost like what Greg and I have been talking about in some of the previous podcasts, the notion of kind of living the Christian life on your own effort, on your own steam. When you talk about the distinction between ABC and ABS, that's really interesting. They did not, because if you're saying I'm living the Christian life through my commitment, then what you're saying is Jesus starts me off in the Christian life, but then I'm living the rest of it through my own hard work and effort. And Greg, it's absolutely climbing up that single line like we were talking about in the previous podcast, right? I've got to be committed to it. I've got to take all the effort. And eventually that gets to be a drag. And people say, you know what? It's not working for me. And I'm not committed to it anymore. That's a great, great story, Randy. What I want to ask you, though, is, I mean, it sounded like the little radio broadcast you're listening to, and I know it was just a snippet, was kind of almost an indictment of American Christianity. You've done a lot of work overseas and internationally. Do you see the differences with the different church and the way that the gospel is growing overseas or different countries and the way the Lord works other countries? I mean, is that a particularly uniquely American problem? And I could see, before you answer, I could see that it would be, because it sounds like almost a consumerist kind of approach to Christianity, where we say, hey, you know, so long as, and to the extent that this is working for me, I'll do it and I'm committed to it and I'll keep doing it. And then when it's not working for me, I can walk away and try something else, which is very, it's totally a consumerist way of approaching it. We do that in everything else. And that's just so different than surrender, which is, we'll keep talking about, which is putting your trust in Jesus. I just wonder if you saw a distinction in other countries.
Well, I do see differences in other countries. When you, I'll tell you, for those who have never traveled or gone on a missions trip, the one thing about that is, as you interact with the body of Christ somewhere else,
yeah,
you realize you see things that you didn't see. When you're in your environment, there's just, you don't see that it's different. Like in Kenya, they don't talk theology a lot. They talk a lot about Jesus, though. Mm. And what does it mean to really follow him? You know, in Kenya, it's pamoja, pamoja, slowly, slowly. We're going to grow, and we want to grow the right way. It's not about, we're never in a hurry. And in Scotland, in Europe, and as a whole, the decline of the church after World War II was so profound, the Christians that are left seem to be a lot more radical or serious about their faith, because they're so few. They stand out much more. Mm. And we still have some little remnants of even though we're in a post-Christian culture, we have some remnants of it. But I do agree. The one thing that hit me was, committed is still about my efforts.
Yeah.
And surrendered really counts on grace.
Yes.
It's got to be, and I think I grew up under this German work ethic that my mom could outwork all of us times 10, right? She was unbelievable and hard worker. But you know what? It's like, when you try to apply that to your Christian life, God wants us to surrender, quit fighting, quit striving, and let him do it. And everything, it's so contrary to everything I learned in my life growing up, was no, you know, pick yourself up and keep going. And that serves you sometimes, but with Christ, we have to surrender.
And I think that it's a little bit like that illustration that Greg was talking about at the beginning with the thieves on the cross as well, right? Because there's a real appeal in some sense to the one, in Greg's illustration, the thief on the cross, that is the one that says, follow the rules, right? That leads to legalism. But there's an appeal to that because I get to stay in control, right? And I get to say, hey, I've done all these things, and because I've done all this stuff, God has to bless me, right? And, you know, and Greg, I'm sure you've seen in your ministry, in your life, where people kind of swing back and forth. You know, you talk about those two thieves on the cross, someone who is saying, I'm in control, I follow the rules, and therefore God has to bless me. But after a while, it doesn't quite work, and they snap and say, forget this, I'm going to swing to the other side and follow my heart, because that didn't work out so well, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think I have that experience personally. I think as I reflect on my Christian walk, I've been a Christian almost 30 years now. I think it's common for us to ping pong back and forth.
Interesting.
In our spiritual life. Now, you know, a lot of times when we think following your heart, you're going right towards sin, you know, you're going right mm-hmm. towards some awful behavior. But following your heart could be just like, hey, I'm going to have a quiet time when I feel like it. When my heart, I'm not going to do this legalistic stuff. I'm going to read the scripture when I want to read the scripture. And so I think we do ping pong back and forth. Let's talk about the scripture. Where in scripture do we see this principle of surrender?
You know, I need to find some verses for that, but I just want to bring up one thing before maybe we dive into some of the passages we're going to look at tonight, because when you talked about, how did you put it, Randy? ABC versus ABS. There's another kind of a way of thinking about you coming to Christ that's doesn't use that nice acronym of ABC or ABS, because those are nice, those are easy to remember. Actually refers to some Latin terms. I'm not sure I'm going to say this right. Notitia ascensus fiducia. But this is kind of classic theology, and it just basically says the first word, the Latin word, means that you have to have knowledge. You have to know what the gospel is. You have to understand the basics. Someone has to tell it to you, right? That Jesus died on the cross for your sins. You're sinful, and your sins are separating you from God. The solution is to put your faith in Jesus Christ, because he paid the penalty for your sins as your substitute, and that's how you become a Christian. You have to know the facts, basically. And then the second step of census is you have to assent to it. You have to actually say, yes, I believe that's true. Third is the Latin term is fiducia, which means you have to actually put your trust into it. And that's kind of what we're talking about, Greg, with your thieves in the cross, because the one says, I'm not going to fully put my trust in it. I'm going to trust my own ability to follow the rules. The other one says, I'm not going to put my trust in it. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to follow my heart. Even as I try to be a Christian, follow the heart, which is interesting, an interesting take. But both of those ways are ways of avoiding a savior. They're both saying, I don't really need a savior. I don't really need to trust it. I can still trust myself, right? And that's the essence of Christianity. And I think unfolding and understanding it is kind of the essence of our Christian growth.
Randy, what's on your mind?
A couple of things. I think we all realize that when we surrender, we realize that salvation, we can't earn our salvation on our own. We can't do it. We need Jesus to do that, right? I think it's easy to see that. But then when the hard part is, I think, at least for me, I then began to think, okay, but now that I'm a Christian, it's up to me to live the Christian life. Like, I needed Jesus for salvation, but now it's up to how hard I work and how well I follow the rules, you know, the cross on the left. And surrender. So Greg, you quoted Luke 9:23 earlier, and deny yourself, which I think is surrendering, deny yourself, but it says daily. It's not like I did it once and I'm done. It's a daily thing that we have to remember to surrender to Christ and to follow his will for our lives. The first passage I thought of as you talked was in Mark 10. It's a story of the rich young ruler. And it's so funny because Jesus said, here's all the rules. And I've kept these since I was a young boy. I've done the rules. And then Jesus kind of goes a little deeper and says, okay, well then sell everything you have. He's going after his heart. And he walks away sad. And I just think, to me, that's what it means to surrender. And it's, am I willing to give it over to him? And I don't know. I mean, I need to do it every day and I mess up on it every day. And there's times that my will is strong, but I guess that Mark 10 passage and the rich young ruler was the first thing I thought of, Greg, when you were that, and you quoted it earlier, Luke 9:23.
I think there's a lot of passages that kind of, they don't mention the word surrender, but they definitely involve surrender. I mean, the whole idea of abiding in Christ involves surrender. Then there's Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Proverbs 3:5-6. James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. To humble yourself is to surrender. So I think that this is a very biblical concept. And the whole idea of this podcast is we need Jesus just as much now as believers than we did before we were believers.
Oh, yeah.
The gospel is not just the ABCs of the Christian life. And then you go on to like hard work and effort and deeper things. No, the gospel is the A to Z of the Christian life. We never move beyond it. This is so important. And so often, I don't feel like churches intentionally not teach this, but the default setting, Randy, you mentioned it earlier, the default setting of our hearts is so much works and performance that we don't even realize that once we become Christians, we just go back to that default setting and we spiritualize it. I wish that churches would be more direct with the way that they disciple and equip believers and basically say, hey, listen, it's gospel-driven sanctification that gets you where you need to be. It's not works-based sanctification.
So, Randy, what we've been talking about, and this is actually a good test since you're new to the podcast. We've talked about this in a couple of podcasts before, but someone may be listening for the first time. So to try to run this past you, make sure that what we're saying is clear, because Greg and I talk about it all the time. I want to see if it sounds clear when we describe it. But what we're trying to do is talk about gospel-driven sanctification in contrast to this kind of works-driven sanctification. And the way we do it, we talk about it, is a simple graph where you could say, I'm just going to have two axes on the graph, and the horizontal axis is time and the vertical axis is holiness. And if you think about that kind of simple graph to way of looking at your life and a 45 degree angle, let's try to draw a simple line that starts off where the two lines intersect, 45 degree angle, it goes up and to the right. And in that way of looking at your Christian life says, at Jesus, there's a cross at the base of the line that starts me off. But then the rest of my Christian life, the rest of my Christian growth is all about becoming a better and better Christian. It's all up to me. It's all up to my hard work and effort. Without the cross, that little line, the straight line, looks like every other world religion, right? Every religion says, here are the rules you got to perform based on them. And you become a better, better person, a more religious person, according to that religion over time, right? And then what we just were just saying is everything else in life is performance-based too. I want to be a good football player. I got to get a workout, become a better football player, become a better, better football player over time. And better my career. I get everything in life is performance-based. Everything in life is a single line. And then we take that paradigm and apply it to Christianity. Say, yep, Jesus started me out. Justification by faith. I am saved by the blood. I'm a new creation. Wonderful. Now, all kinds of stuff I got to do. And that's why, Greg, you just said it. We go, all our Christian lives, we're going to churches, and our Christian leaders have been saying, here's all the stuff you got to do to climb up that single line. And you get that impression that it's all up to me. It's on my hard work and effort. Right. And when you get, when you do the paradigm shift to gospel driven Christianity, you say, that's not it at all. That's not it at all. It's all about Jesus. You don't graduate from the gospel. Like Greg just said, it's the gospel every day, your whole Christian life.
You know, sometimes I feel like we view this, Jim, you made me think a little bit about this, but we view this like, there's Jesus, and that's what you study as you come to Christ. But then once you know Jesus, now we're going to study Paul. And we've moved on from Jesus.
Ah.
And it's like, whoa, stop. Like, I mean, we can't move on from Jesus. And
I mean, the Paul himself couldn't move on from Jesus. He said, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, if anyone teaches a different gospel, I'm sorry, Greg, I talked over you.
Okay. Galatians 6:14.
Yeah, and if anyone teaches a different gospel, let him be accursed, right?
In Hebrews, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. And there, I mean, there's so many passages, but I think, and I know intellectually we may not say that, but I think it's almost like in some churches, that's how it's presented. It's like, okay, now you're going to get to meaty stuff, like this, the gospels aren't meaty. And I think that's where we learn about the God of our salvation. And I really think we should be in the Gospels all the time and going back. You were talking about that 45 degree line of the graph and how we approach it. Isn't it interesting that, like, if you've ever, your children, they don't grow like that, do they? Like, it's so funny. You measure them and all of a sudden they hit a growth spurt and they haven't seemed to grow for a long time. And then all of a sudden they take off, right?
Right.
I remember my son wanted to, he's now 30, but he wanted to go to Cedar Point with us and he wanted to get on the ride so bad. And I was measuring him a couple of times a day for like a week. And he was getting so upset. I haven't grown any in 3 days, like, you know, but yet that's how we approach it as Christians. And it's like, but isn't it interesting that when we do submit, and I do think, and we do surrender, and why do we go through hard times? Sometimes we go through hard things and we face hard things. We all will. We all have them. Those are the times that mold us and shape us and enable us to trust him, to surrender to him.
Greg, do you think should we spend a minute reviewing the two-line illustration? We talk about it on almost every podcast, but I don't know if Randy's heard it before.
Go for it.
Well, if it's too long, you can always edit this out. But Randy, here's the idea. And this is in my own Christian life, I was burning out on the single-line illustration. And then I attended, we moved to New York City and I attended Tim Keller's church, Redeemer Presbyterian Church in New York City, and started to really understand the gospel. But when we moved back to Ohio, Greg shared this illustration with me. And we kind of, over the years, have talked about and taken it and kind of run with it and added to it and done different things. But it's a much better illustration than that single line to understand gospel-driven transformation in your life. So here's let me try to do this. And I'll do this verbally because people are going to hear this verbal over pure audio without benefit of any visual. Let's see if it works. But you take that same graph you had, the two axes, right? Time across the bottom, righteousness across the top. And you say there's still an upward line that goes upward at a, you could draw it at a 45 degree angle, but that line does not represent your changing performance, your spiritual performance. That line represents your growing awareness over time of God's holiness. And then there's also a line that goes downward. You could draw that downward, starting at the same point, but downward at a 45 degree angle. That's your growing awareness over time of your own sinfulness. And at the start of your Christian life, there's a little cross between those two lines because you knew there was a gap between your sinful nature and God's holiness. And as you grow in Christ, become a stronger Christian, you realize the gap's even bigger than you thought. And you're more aware of your sin and you're more aware of his holiness. And the cross is even bigger. And as you get growing more and more in your Christian life, the cross gets bigger and bigger. And that the beauty of that illustration is that the cross doesn't start me out in the Christian life. The cross is the Christian life. Everything goes back to the cross. It's all about him. It's not about my performance. But the part of this that, as Greg and I have talked about over the years, that just say, well, then I am supposed to do these things, right? The Bible says, take up my cross daily. The Bible does tell me about stuff to do. Where does that fit in? I draw a dotted line, a upward sloping dotted line above that little graph that still goes up at a 45 degree angle. And it wouldn't be a straight line. It'd be lumpy and curvy. But just for the drawing now, just draw it upwards. But it's a dashed or dotted line. And that represents your changed life. And it's dotted for a reason, because you're not really aware of it in your Christian life. And the single line, your whole focus in your Christian life is on you and your performance. And this gospel-driven sanctification, your whole focus is on Jesus. And your life does change. You're just not primarily aware of it. Does that sound like it makes sense? Because we've said this in almost every one of our podcasts. And I wonder if the listeners actually can get it. So I'm hoping that it's something that resonates with you.
Yes, it does make sense. And I actually drew it as you were talking it through. But have you heard people say, like, I went through a really hard time. I would never want to go through that again, but I'm grateful that I went through that. Like, mm-hmm. And I think that's at your spotted line graph. It's like, those are times that we're really growing. You know, that's where Christ is really becoming real in our lives. But you know, you look back and you think, gosh, that was hard. I don't know who said this, but they said, we look forward to things that are really hard and think, I could never get through that. We look back and think, I have no idea how I got through that. But in the midst of it, God's grace meets us.
Wow.
And I think that is where we grow, and we want to avoid it. We want to be comfortable. The one thing that goes against surrender is comfort. I want to be comfortable, not just in my physical life, but in my spiritual life. I don't want to have risky. I don't want to surrender is not comfortable. It's scary. You know, I'm thinking, Lee, in Appomattox, that was not a comfortable moment. And yet we are addicted to that comfortable.
Thanks a lot for listening. Stay tuned. We're going to have part two of our topic on surrender. Just a few days. Look for that podcast.